Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray tonight that you would help us to be able to see the unseen, to see your workings and to realize just how amazing you are and how amazing you want to be in our lives. Lord, I pray that you would take us and show us what you wanted to show us from the beginning. Help us to understand you better and get a better handle on how it is that you want us to live our lives and how we can live our lives through you. In Jesus' name, amen. So tonight, we return to our study on the apprentice prophet. His name was Elisha. We have seen that Elisha was being mentored by the great prophet Elijah. And the apprenticeship slash mentoring was a very good one. Elisha looked to Elijah as a great and beloved father figure, and Elisha served Elijah very well. But the day has come for Elijah to hand off the prophet job to Elisha, and Elijah will go to be with God. Let's pick up our story in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 9. It says this: when they came to the other side, that's of the river, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." Now, this is a very interesting exchange. Elisha knows that the torch is about to be passed to him, and Elijah flings the door wide open, offering Elisha basically anything he wants. Elisha could have asked for power. He could have asked for success. He could have asked for protection as he becomes God's prophet. But he doesn't ask for any of those things. Instead, Elisha asks for a double portion of the Spirit of God that was on Elijah. Now, some people will point to Deuteronomy 21:17, and they believe that Elisha was seeking the double portion that is given to the firstborn, the son. The firstborn son gets a double portion. He is the heir. This signifies that they are the successor. And that very well may be the case. That may be what he's asking for here in that way. But the bottom line is this: Elisha wanted to be twice as connected to God and twice as in sync with God as Elijah had been. Now, Elisha doesn't ask for this out of pride. He doesn't ask for this out of competition with Elijah. Instead, it's more and the fact that he is humble and he needs God in a big way. And this is a cry for God's help. Let's get our first point on our outlines down. Point one: don't reach for the moon. Reach beyond it. You know, as I studied this, I was really challenged from this request of "make mine a double" by Elisha. The idea struck me that so often we desire to reach as far as others have gotten. We tend to set our ultimate goals at the current world record. We tend to dream of getting to where some hero or where some high achiever once reached. In other words, I want to get as far as anyone else has ever gotten. Well, that's where the challenge came in with Elisha's request. He doesn't do that. He doesn't ask to do the same as the great Elijah had done. Elisha reaches beyond the moon. He reaches to the stars, to a place where no one has ever gone and no one has ever achieved before. And I thought about this in the realm of following God. You see, reaching for the moon would say, I can be a young person who lives a life of purity because Tim Tebow and several others, well, they've done that. But reaching beyond the moon, reaching to the stars, says, I can be a young person who lives in purity because God can get me there, even if I am the first person to ever do that. Reaching for the moon says, I can raise my children to be respectful and wholesome, God-following contributors in this world. You know why? Because Susanna Wesley did it. Why can't I do that? Well, reaching beyond the moon, reaching for the stars says, I can raise my children to be respectful, wholesome, God-following contributors in this world, even if no one else has ever done that, because I have God's unlimited spirit available to me. I love that statement that says, shoot for the moon, even if you miss, you wind up among the stars. The thing about Elisha is that he is shooting for the stars right from the start. And I'm challenged by that. Gang, we need to do what society tells us can't be done. There was a young lady who wanted to be an Olympic athlete. Pretty cool. Wanted to be an Olympic athlete. So she started training. She says, I'm going to try to do this. And she was going to be in the Winter Olympics, you know, if this was going to happen. But at the age of 22, while she was training, a bobsled got out of control. The brakes broke on a bobsled and smashed into this 22-year-old woman. It broke her leg so bad, she had to have a titanium rod put in it. Ugh. And she wanted to be an Olympic athlete. Now she's got this broken leg with a rod in it, 22 years old. She went on in the years to follow to get married to a nice man, had one child, then had another child. But this idea to reach for the stars didn't go away in her. She said, I want to still do this. She talked to her husband. She said, what do you think? I have this dream to reach for the stars. Here's a picture of her family. That's her with her family. He says, let's go for it. But there's no magic involved here. He still had to work every day, and she had to take care of two little ones. So she would take her one child to preschool and then take the other child with her while she would do a 2 to 3 to 4 hour training session in the morning and watch this baby. But she had this dream. I want to be an Olympian. And I want a medal. That's reaching for the stars. Well, a week ago, she did it. Nicole Pikus Pace won the silver medal in women's skeleton and achieved her place among the stars. Just because it hasn't been done, and just because people have never done it before, doesn't mean we can't do it. Gang, I am challenged to reach beyond the moon and shoot for the stars when it comes to controlling my attitude. I am challenged to reach beyond the moon and shoot for the stars when it comes to taking a risk for God. And I'm challenged to reach beyond the moon and shoot for the stars when it comes to trusting God as I follow his word. Elisha was shooting for the stars. I want double what you have, Elijah. I want double. Now, it's very interesting. If you look at the Bible and you look at the mentor here, Elijah, you will see recorded 14 miracles, 14 miracles that Elijah, the mentor, accomplished. I'm sure there were more, but the Bible records 14. Elisha had asked for a double portion. Guess how many miracles are recorded of Elisha in the Bible? 28. Pretty interesting stuff. Isn't it interesting that Elisha asked God to be twice as active in his life, and God works twice as many miracles through Elijah than he did through Elisha as he did through Elijah? Gang, don't reach just for the moon. Reach beyond it. With God, it can happen. Okay, so Elisha now has made his request known to Elijah, right? He has told him, I want a double portion. Make mine a double. Whatever God gave you, I want twice that. And here is the response he received in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 10. Ooh, you have asked for a difficult thing. I added the hoo-hoo-hoo-hoo before that, all right? That's how I read it. Ooh, you've asked for a difficult thing, Elijah replied. If you see me when I am taken from you, well, then you will get your request. But if not, then you won't. Now, as they were walking along and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared, drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them. And Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it, and he cried out, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel. And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Point two, keep your eyes on the unseen. Elijah had taught Elisha well. Elisha knew the job ahead of him would be impossible without God's power. So, Elisha asks for a heaping helping of God in his life. Elijah knew that for Elisha to receive that heaping helping, Elisha would have to keep his eyes on God. One must be able to see God in the unseen. David Roper writes this about the request, or about the provision. You see me, you get it. You don't see me when God takes me, you don't get it. He says there's nothing arbitrary in this test. It was utterly suitable. For God's work requires the ability to see beyond what is in front of us. Elijah was a man like us. His power came from his ability to fix his eyes on what is unseen. Elijah is saying, there is a God who is orchestrating life here on earth. You must be able to see him, Elisha. Elijah is saying, God has a plan for your life and work for you to do. You must be able to see that, Elisha. Elijah is saying, there is a whole world around us that is filled with angels and enemies and agendas. You must be able to see that, Elisha. Keep your eyes on the unseen. Because when you do, your faith will soar and your confidence will be unshakable. And when that is the case, you can reach beyond the moon and you can get to those stars. Gang, God gives the same command to you and me. It says in 2 Corinthians 4:18, so we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone, but the things we cannot see will last forever. Several weeks ago, you saw a great video message. Dr. Cloud taught us that life comes from the connection we have with God. The Apostle John wrote, "Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son does not have life." John is confirming Jesus' statement that in Christ we find everlasting life. In Christ we find life to the full. In Christ we find what life is meant to be and how it is to be lived. All through the power of God. But one must have the ability to see the unseen. The faith to see the unseen. When you go to school and you work hard at getting good grades, you must see the unseen, that God is preparing a position for you somewhere. There is a God who is orchestrating life here on earth, and you must be able to see that. When we are put through a time of waiting, a period of wilderness wandering, we must see that God is there, that this time has a purpose in our lives, a purpose that it has to accomplish in us. God has a plan for your life and work for you to do, but you must be able to see that. When we are offered unbiblical shortcuts, when we are offered ungodly counsel, when we are tempted to give up or give in or give out, we must see that our lives are being fought over. There is a whole world around us that is filled with angels and enemies and agendas. And you have to be able to see that. Elijah told Elisha, "If you see me when I am taken from you, oh, you'll get your request." Minutes later, Elisha saw the unseen. "My father, my father, I see the chariots and the charioteers of Israel." Oh, that we would see the unseen when God heals someone with incurable cancer. Oh, that we would be able to see the unseen when God rescues a lost soul and rebuilds their life. Oh, that we would be able to see the unseen when God supplies for our needs when no hope was in sight. Westbridge, we must keep our eyes on the unseen. Well, the night is waning fast, so let's finish up. 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 13. Talking about Elisha, he says, "He took up also the mantle," like the shawl, that fell from him. "And he went back, and he stood at the bank of the Jordan River. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and struck the waters and said, 'Where is the Lord God of Elijah?' And when he had also struck the waters, they parted to the one side and to the other, and Elisha went over." Now, gang, there is debate as to whether Elisha struck the water once or twice. The Hebrew translation literally reads that Elisha struck the water, then cried out, "Where is the God of Elijah?" Then he struck the water again, at which point it parted. Now, whether Elisha hit the water once or twice is kind of cool to study. You can study that and you can investigate it. It does nothing to change the exegesis of the passage. That means what it really is trying to say to us. Elisha, in this passage, is establishing his connection with God. This is their inaugural moment. "Where is the God of Elijah?" he says. Kabam! There he is, right there, right in front of me, with me. The handoff has been made. And Elisha now carries the mantle of being God's prophet. In that moment, Elisha knows Elijah's God is now with me. Elijah's God is now my God. our final point tonight is this. Make God your God. You see, gang, some of us have grown up in Christian homes where Jesus is the God of our parents. Some of us learned about Jesus from our peers, where Jesus was our friend's God. And some of us walked into a church where Jesus was the God of the people who worshiped there. No matter where you started out, we all have the same decision to make. Will we make Elijah's God my God? Will we make my parents' God my God? Will we make our friends' God my God? Will we make this church's God my God? Will you have that inaugural moment when you personally embrace God for yourself and make him your own? You see, your parents cannot connect you to God. Your friends cannot connect you to God. Coming to church doesn't connect you with God. That's something you have to do for yourself. It's you making your own decision, you determining and committing that Jesus is your Savior and making that God your God. Let me ask the band and the worship leaders to come back and lead us through one more song where we can worship. And in this time, I'd like you to give that some thought. Have you taken that step? Have you had that inaugural moment where you said, where is the God of Elijah? Where is my parents' God? Where is the God of this church? I want to make him mine. I want to say yes. I want to admit that I've lived apart. I want to admit that I have my sin, but that there is a God, a Savior, Jesus Christ, who wants to connect and be your personal God. Talk that through with God as we stand and worship one last time. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray now that you'd help each of us to do what you've called us to do, to shoot for the stars, to realize that you are a God who can do amazing things. You can fix what's broken, that the world has given up on, and you can make it whole. You can take something that this world would consider worthless and make it a prince in your kingdom, a princess in your kingdom. And Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to keep our eyes on the unseen, to know that though we don't see it, there is a world going on around us that you are controlling. That you have your hand in our lives and you have your hand in this world and you are guiding. And I pray, Lord, that we would be connected with you. That if there are those who have said no, they would say yes tonight to make you their God. We leave this in your hands as we head into the weekdays. Keep us strong through the power of your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great weekend, everybody. See you next week.